10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medic Lake Spokane on 88.1 or maybe 92.3 FM, or maybe you're streaming from kyrs.org. I'm your host, Maeve. You are listening to Out and About, the show that surprises you. 1 week Batman, another week theater, and today, back to the mission statement, I have Matt Danielson in the studio with me. Hello, Matt.
You can call me Matt Man.
Matt. I've got Matt Van. Matt Van is here in person. And Matt is the executive director of Spokane Pride and also involved in so many other things. In fact, when I take my little break to load up my computer with all my underwriters and important messages to the community, I am going to be playing a song.
Oh my god!
From Matt's album of the Scablanders, is that right?
Yeah, honestly, we never quite settled on a name, but I love Scablands, but Scabland is boring, so Scablander.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, the cool thing is, your fans could like injure themselves and then mail in their scabs to you.
Sure, as long as they don't cross a picket line.
Yeah, that's.
Sorry, okay. we're full of good jokes. And
That was kind of a rough segue, but we did it, I guess. Matt,
so good.
You've been doing a lot of work with, we'll talk about some Pride stuff, and then we're going to talk about some stuff going on with Spokane Indivisible. I have a list of events that are coming up here that you had posted, and I'll say these out loud. I could post them, but nobody can see them on the radio. So Matt, how are things at Spokane Pride? What's going on?
Pretty good. I'm kind of going through a transition right now in phase of the year.
I know that is.
see, she's a comedian. basically we did a ton of events for the holidays because I think it's really important for, you know, the queer community to have like spaces to, you know, have these holiday events, and we take that very seriously. And we also raised a bunch of money for other organizations like SAN and Trans Spokane and among many others. But now it's, I think it's about 138 days till Pride. So I kind of have to evolve into focusing far more on that. So our registration just dropped. If you'd like to register as a vendor or in the parade or as a sponsor, SpokanePride.org.
I think we're all going to be really, by the time Pride rolls around, we're all going to need the break of just the good vibes and the good times for families, for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you let me know how that break is.
I'll be working it too. I'm just,
is true. We were talking about parade announcers the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, don't forget Maeve.
Yeah.
We have two. Oh, not like I didn't 1 year, but,
don't forget me.
No,
please.
Cause we're already starting to line up all the details for that this year.
Good. How's any sponsorship stuff going on yet, or is that kind of?
It's way too early to tell. We're in kind of a weird thing where I don't think it's really that beneficial to reach out to the sponsors before the new year.
Yeah.
So I just spend January sending a bunch of emails. Okay. Looks promising. And honestly, if we can survive last year, I'm pretty sure, and still kind of come out on top, I think we'll be fine no matter what. because I think last year we really proved that you can survive and even thrive off of getting funding from more like community-based, like local organizations instead of these big corporate, you know.
Well, and you know, I think this is where you were going with your picket line comment is, you know, it's funny how people have kind of taken control of things with spending. I know, like when they canceled Jimmy Kimmel for a while, my first thing was I called them up. They wouldn't let you do it. Just do it online, cancel. Mm-hmm. At least maybe you could, but you couldn't leave a comment. Mm-hmm. And so I'm calling them, and it took a while to get through, and I cancel. And I'm like, well, I'm doing this, and when the parent company Disney decides not to collude with fascists, mm-hmm. then I will re-up my membership. And they said, is this about Jimmy Kimmel? I go, yes. And so I think that's, you know, we are kind of experiencing that, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of these people who did sponsor Pride in the past and then got scared away because of the Nazis, mm-hmm. that they're going to be back.
I think there's going to be a certain amount of crawling back potentially. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I mean, because it did seem like last year everybody was kind of a combination of afraid and not really wanting to poke the bear as far as culture war stuff, and then that plus the Liberation Day and all the tariffs, because I think the sponsorship losses were as much the the tariffs as DEI, because a lot of the I
was talking to
sponsors that the conversation this time of year, January, before the tariffs, was very promising, and then suddenly with the uncertainty the marketing budgets got just slashed. And you know, any sponsorship for just a frivolous thing like Spokane Pride, you know, just a big celebration, like that just gets cut immediately.
Sure.
Especially because we're not New York, we're not San Francisco, we're small, even though we are, you know, kind of huge.
Boy, I'll tell you, we had people. I talked to people on the street, and they're from Seattle and Chicago, and they're from people from all over the place come into our Pride Festival.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think that's the main comment I hear a lot. People are like, "Wow, I just can't believe Spokane has that magnitude of pride event." And
yeah,
it's you know, really cool for me, you know, because it's kind of my baby. But then at the same time, I think it's because of it's a regional thing. Like we have, it's not like we got 40,000 new attendees in the last, like, you know, 10 years because 40,000 new queer people moved to town.
Wow.
It's because we have lots of allies.
Yes.
It's because we're kind of a regional event now. So we have people coming in from like hundreds of miles away and, you know, staying the night. And it's just been a really cool evolution to watch, because when I first started at Pride in 2016, we were just, it was pre-skate ribbon, and we were just one stage in that corner of the park.
Yeah.
And now we take up more than anything, more than any event, actually. So.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, talking about the tariffs. I just heard a show today talking about how Canada has forged great deals with China and Europe, and now Europe.
Oh, did you hear that speech the other day?
Yeah.
That was.
Well, and then the comment from Scott Bessin was, oh, Carney called right back. He called Trump and apologized. And right after that, Carney said that never happened. I think the thing we're, and then of course, right now too, is Europe is really aligning with India. They just inked a really great, they're writing us out, because 30% of our population is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the 30% of our population, because we don't really have we don't have democracy, we have a gerrymandered and, you know, mm-hmm. corporate driven thing, that they get to call the shots. And so we could say next election that we replace we get rid of Trump or whatever, but no nation is ever going to look at us and say, this can't ever happen again.
Yeah. What about 2032?
Yeah.
Like that's,
yeah.
We're clearly not long-term partners.
No.
You know, with the volatility of our political system and its tendency to make wild swings from one end of the spectrum
right.
to the other.
And really bad choices. You know, mm-hmm. people make bad choices that they don't especially have any idea.
Looking at what's happening right now. It's just, my gosh.
Well, you know, I kind of wonder, you know, the horrific events in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. You know, Minneapolis reminds me of Spokane in a lot of ways. That's my mom's side of the family. It's all from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And they kind of have the same kind of like live and let live mentality. I feel like we have in Spokane and they're nice people. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of confuses Trump types because they wouldn't understand why people would be out there protesting and doing these things if there's nothing in it for them. That's what I think. Really, they do think that it is paid protesters because they don't understand why would a white person be standing up for a person of color. That's just so beyond they're dishonorable people. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that they do not know the sense of sacrifice or honor or Christianity or any of these concepts where you do stick up for other people. So in Minneapolis, when people are doing that and seeing laws violated and the Constitution violated by ICE and all these other perpetrators, that it is no wonder that they come to the aid of people who don't look like them. And I think Spokane is kind of the same way.
I mean, I can speak to Spokane. I've never been in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. but yeah, I know that tracks with my experience.
Yeah.
I'm I'm hoping Minneapolis Twin Cities Pride will be at the Pride Conference next week. And I always like to check in with their
ED. Oh, where is that?
It's in Milwaukee.
Okay.
So, and their director was the one that politely told Target to take a hike last year.
Oh, nice.
And,
yeah.
You know, did a bunch of fundraising off it. So he became a bit of a hero of mine. So, and then that plus, you know, George Floyd and then all this nonsense happening there. I feel like they're a very prominent pride to like, you know, have national level public opinions.
Yeah. That's Target headquarters are mm-hmm. there. And
no, and that's why they're in a position to tell them to, screw off.
And it really, you talk about the backlash from that effect, you know, from them doing that to acquiesce to fascists is, that was pretty profound for them. It really hurt them. I think it was pretty, I almost wanted to buy some because I thought it was so fun to look at was the few pieces of Pride merchandise that mm-hmm. they had that were just these, you know, you wouldn't really know that they were Pride merchandise, but they would say Pride in small letters someplace mm-hmm. or something like that. And I thought that this is almost better than them having Pride merchandise. It's just so weaselly.
Oh, that's what, honestly, I never even went in there. So
it's good. I just looked online. I didn't go in there either, but I looked online and it's fun. You should do it sometime. Search the Pride merchandise for Target because it's hilarious.
Okay. It's in the closet.
Yes. It's in the closet. Yeah. Oh, that's, you know, that would be a really good name for kind of a gay boutique store.
Actually, I don't know if I can tell my secret plans, but I have a plan.
No one's listening.
I know. I have a plan for a Pride thrift store that I'm hopefully going to have in an expanded Pride Center, you know, in a couple of years once I figure out how to get somebody else to buy me a Pride Center. That's like a big multi-purpose venue. But at said multi-purpose venue Pride Center, I'd like there to be like a community thrift shop that can also do like clothing exchange stuff. And people can just kind of come in and get free clothes, but we want to call it out of the closet thrift.
Okay. That's good. I hope
nobody steal it, please.
Trademark.
Trademark. It's for Copyright. It's not for me, it's for Spokane Pride.
Yeah, that's right. How are things down at the Spokane Pride office these days?
Oh, it's busy. Always people around. We're partners with SAN for that Pride Center and they have their food pantry.
Yeah.
We have the community room and also we had our Two Spirit crafting yesterday and had to fill up two rooms instead of just our normal one room. And it's just been, I feel like we're, almost a victim of our own success, and that like there's so many people around utilizing the space that it's hard for me to get my admin work done. On my laptop and like send all the emails and do all the technical work.
And I suspect that people have been probably hitting the food pantry harder than normal. Huh?
Oh yeah. No, actually, I think I have stats if I can think of, because especially with November with the government shutdown, I think San went from serving, I think it was like 250 people a month to over 400. Oh, and with like grassroots community donations plus some other donations, they were able to keep up with it. And the food pantry is continuing even after, you know, because SNAP is back, you know, because shutdown is figured out, but people are still utilizing the pantry like they were then. So it just basically expanded, you know, the footprint of it. And it's been really cool to watch.
Yeah.
And also making it so I avoid the office Friday mornings and midday, because food pantry for the general public is 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Fridays, which is when I work on my laptop with my cat at home, because there's too many people around to get a lot of work done.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, everybody wants to say hi to Matt.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's like a gay bar again.
Yes, that's true. So how did you've been, it seems like our paths cross a lot with No King stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get involved in that?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I've just always been kind of involved in a lot of the protest stuff by default and some of the political stuff, because I've always had access to my own sound equipment and mobile power and microphones and the ability to run sound for rallies. That being said, there's nothing like the last year. I mean, I helped plan the Women's and LGBTQ rally last year with Pia, and then we did
The women's rally.
That one. You spoke at that one too. And then we did the March for Gender Freedom.
Yeah.
We did the Science March, and then that all leading into the first No Kings, which was, you know, at the same site as Pride and the Stonewall rally, and that was just probably the biggest rally protest that's ever been in Spokane.
Yeah. How many people were down there, do you think? Did they come up with a number like
40? I mean, I know how many people were in the park for that day, and that's in the tens of thousands.
Yeah.
And that's just, it was, because I think they redid some of the cell phone towers around there, so I got accurate cell phone ping data.
Oh, gotcha.
And in addition to that, that's probably lowballed because
People have families.
Well, and a lot of the protesters, you know, a lot of them don't bring their phones to protesters.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of underage people without phones. There's a lot of people that just go to the parade and don't enter the park, because my data was all geofenced from in the park.
Okay.
But I don't know, you were there.
Yeah.
it was
you couldn't move.
Yeah, it was
certain points.
And I assume you're talking about the fountain area and that orange bridge.
Uh-huh.
I'm completely reworking that because the congestion there is just unsafe.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're, speaking of victim of our own success earlier, it's just like, we have one of the largest parades in the city just emptying out into one of the largest festivals, and the Orange Bridge is only about 45 feet wide.
Yeah.
And that's before you put vendors on both sides. And if you put food vendors, there's going to be lines. And it's just, so we're actually moving almost all our vendors off that bridge.
Okay.
Because we were going to try to direct the parade around it last year, but it just didn't work.
Yeah.
That's just the beating heart of Pride.
Yes.
And we need to honor that and just put less there.
Yeah. The Pride Parade was just a majorly big thing.
I think we launched
the career of Selkirk the Cat.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure Selkirk got us more attention than a certain other parade that day.
Yes.
Because that went about as viral as I think anything that I've seen from Spokane.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah, it was really...
Spokane Pride's pretty proud of that. Yeah,
people made the fire department look like a cool bunch of people, that's for sure. And
Okay, cool in quotation marks as As Maeve doesn't share her opinion.
No, I liked it. I thought it looked good.
I thought you were talking about the controversy that...
Oh.
The subsequent controversy.
Well, that was kind of silly because, you know...
I definitely forwarded Maeve some emails being like, what do you think about this?
Well, and I was getting... I got the emails of snapshots of the stuff too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was like, you know, I kind of think that I don't know if I was the battalion or the chief, you know, that sent that letter, knowing that it was my boss, the mayor, who wanted that fire engine in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And then he writes saying that there, you know, this is a political thing to have a fire engine in there and there shouldn't be a fire engine. And it's like, well, you just contradicted what your boss wanted. And in the military, that's called going against the chain of command, and you don't do that. So I don't know what his thinking was in that. And also, you know, it's not a political thing. And one of the comments was about not, you know, having a pride flag, that there should be no other flag on a fire engine than an American flag. Well, actually, there should be no flag flying off of any kind of vehicle unless it's a staff car, because that's flag code stuff. So that's why you don't see fire trucks driving around with flags off the back of them anymore, because somebody's enforcing the flag code. But as far as flags, other flags being on there, the St. Patrick's Day parade, they've got old the Ireland flag flying off the fire engine. So it was really not well thought out.
No.
And I know the guy who wrote it, and we're friends at the time, you know, and I feel like I have no idea. There's got to be more to the story on why somebody would do something like that. To me, I would think it would be a career-ending email to send if my boss wanted to do something and then I spoke out against it.
It definitely seemed out of place, and we can have a spirited discussion about, you know, how political or whether pride is political.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, just take the win. That was just a PR.
Oh, it was like a,
that was such a good thing for you.
For the Spokane Fire Department.
They have never gotten so much positive press ever. And
ever,
like you have this beautiful little cat, this kitty cat, out of a fire truck at the coolest parade of the year, and people just screaming about it to fun music, and you're gonna make a big issue with that, really?
Yeah.
Like it's,
I would suspect that there was some blowback from, you know, when I started in the fire department, I would say it was probably, if you had to ask for political affiliation, I bet it was probably about, 70, 30, 70 being Democrat, 30 Democratic, 30 being Republican. And I think that's sort of flipped since then. And I think a lot of that is, I don't know. I don't know if it's military, although the guys who were from the military, really did the military, don't seem like they're that militaristic by the time they get in. I think it was sort of low-level players. I don't know why, but they kind of went down that road, and I'm sure that there were people that complained about it.
You know? Yeah, I think of it as 70 more right-wing these days, just because my husband's a dispatcher, and that's kind of consistent with, I think, his experiences.
Yeah, I think it's about right. I you know, it's funny, back in the day, they would send the fire engine if a church was having a harvest festival or something, a right-wingy church, they would send the fire engine. We'd have to go to that, you know. That was before I transitioned. That would have been really fun. But... I would have signed up for that. But, you know, so there was always been this thing that, you know, we go where we're asked to go, or they go. I'm not we anymore. Okay, I'm going to play a song right now while I load up my 20 after the hour stuff. I have two songs. Which one? Yeah, I have Danielson Road, and then Walk Like a Pharisee. Do you have a...
Do you want the... Danielson Road's just a really simple like song about a home and everybody who has a home, I guess. And the Walk Like a Pharisee is much more political.
Oh.
And
well, let's do Walk Like a Pharisee then.
And I love to use the words of Jesus against fundamentalist Christians.
Well, it's not
hard.
Well, they don't look at The red parts of the red words in the Bible they don't pay any attention to. Okay, here we go. We are going to listen to Walk Like a Pharisee. Boom, 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 boom. Here we go. By the Scablanders.
Yeah. car that you don't drive anymore? What about an old boat that's seen better days? Running or not, even if you crashed that Chevrolet and then stepped away, we'll take it. All proceeds benefit KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, and you get a tax receipt for your donation. Call toll-free today at 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227.
Americans interested in contacting their U.S. senators can find the Senate's website online at www.senate.gov. From there, click on the drop-down menu on the top left corner of the page. Scroll down until you see Contact Your Senators, click on the state's name, and the website will redirect you to a page that lists both of the state's senators and their contact information.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
KYRS Thin Air Community Radio provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve and our radio programs as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting Give KYRS to the number 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
Oh my gosh, we're having a great conversation here while we're playing all the spots. And but that was Walk Like a Pharisee by the Scablanders. Now, are you all of the Scablanders? Or are you? Well, are you one man band, Scablanders?
There's actually five of us. Okay. I would say the core of the Scablanders would probably be me and my two brothers.
Okay.
Because, I named the band obviously off of the Channeled Scablands because we're from Central Washington and even in Spokane area. Oh, like. Yeah. Our geology and our geography is greatly affected by the Missoula floods that created the Channeled Scablands. And and then there's two other members of the band too, but I wanted it to have something to do with the Scablands as a concept because I think it was like the second or third song I ever wrote was Channeled Scablands of the Soul, about how, I mean, what's the Scablands other than a trauma that happened to the landscape?
Yeah, it got ripped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it also is the reason that it's unique and beautiful, and actually a reason that it, like, it's what we built the Columbia Basin project off of, like the big, like using those channels that were created. Like it just changed the land into being something more beautiful and more useful to the inhabitants of it. And I think sometimes, you know, if you can use your trauma to for a good cause, basically that's what you need to be after. And me getting pretty traumatized by growing up fundamentalist Christian and gay, you know, I would have, let's just say if I were straight, I don't think I would have ever written very much music or at all.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't know.
It just, cause it's sort of, is it like something that you feel like makes you feel better by writing it? Or is it something you're just called to do? Or
I'd say not called, because I wouldn't say it was by something calling me, but definitely something deeply that needed to get out of me. For example, when I'm like, I kind of see it as more like I'm finding songs than constructing them.
Yeah.
And when I find something that like just is kind of, it's like a bug, just like flying around me all the time. Yeah. I find a concept and it just bugs me for days, and I have to like sit down at the piano and just kind of riff around with it for sometimes hours, sometimes days, and then assemble it into something coherent, then write some words with, like, figure out what it's trying to say, you know, verbally. And some, you know, 80% of the time it ends up being kind of crappy, but you know, there's that 20% of the time where you get pretty profound art, I think.
And it's a pretty good average, actually.
It's like something that's just stuck in me, especially if there's like, oh my gosh, it was the most annoying thing, wonderfully annoying thing, but this is a great example. It's the end of summer and I was about to go on a trip, and I write the concept of the song, and I know it's like, you know, it's a thing. No, for sure. Like in your bones.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I don't have access to a piano for a week and a half.
Oh no.
And I'm just like, it's literally just like buzzing through my brain.
Are you humming into your phone?
Not even that. Yeah. It's more, it's all just like running through my head, like just constantly. But yeah, it's just, yeah, it's something that's like more a part of you the whole time that just you facilitate an escape for.
Yeah.
Because I do think art, you know, at least the way I do art, maybe the way you do art too, it's like pieces of your disorganized subconscious trying to organize itself in, you know, in a tangible exterior way.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to create a better sense of harmony.
Yeah. Well, that sure happens sometimes when you get done with something.
Mm-hmm. You feel,
and you look at it and you go, oh yeah, that's what this is. I didn't know that's what this is, but now I can see this is what I was doing and why I was doing it. You know, I think that concept about the scablands and how that spurred your creativity, and also, you know, this beautiful thing that comes out of financially beautiful thing, living beautiful thing, all that stuff that came out of the scablands.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I wouldn't wish for having this fascist regime. That's not something that I would have wished for. But there are, it sounds horrible to say, in the bloodshed, there are good things that will come out of this. And there will be creative things that are coming out of this. And there's already good things that are coming out of it.
I know it's kind of a crazy thing to say, but I totally agree, especially watching people mobilize, watching people start to group at a more grassroots level, because they can't, you know, they can't rely on other, you know, more established means. I mean, you see lots of mutual aid stuff starting. I mean, you watch these groups of people just have whistles now, and now there's like this huge response. Nobody's directing that. Like, nobody's paid, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And it's just this really like cool network. And I think that's what real democracy kind of is just like our community being kind of messy and taking care of each other and loving our neighbors and, you know, stepping up for each other and being a community. Whereas I do think we got very atomized, very like not talking to each other. And I'm hoping this points us into a better direction there.
Yeah. And I think, again, that, you know, for honorable people, you would have no choice but to help somebody who's been pushed to the ground, or, you know, to blow whistle when your neighbor's going to be your peaceful neighbor who's actually gone, you know, working to become a citizen and doing all the right things is going to be deported. I would be right there too, because it would be the honorable thing to do. And I don't think that people who support President Trump and are followers of him, and certainly he himself, know the concept of honor. I think they're dishonorable people, and they don't understand why people would do things that didn't just benefit themselves. And so you see the people in Minneapolis doing this, they must know deep down, the Trump folks have to know that they are not paid protesters, even as much as they want to say it. They know that they're not, but they just don't have any kind of explanation. It makes no sense to them why people would be decent.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on your information diet, too. I've seen family members of mine that are a little older, and I think all they listen to is right-wing talk radio, and it's like a virus. It just gets into you, and there's no not a whole lot of truth there. And when all you have repeated at you day in and day out is that these protesters are paid, every one of them.
Yeah.
Especially you look at the numbers. Like, what was it? No Kings 2. There was like 9 million, something like that.
Yeah,
a lot of millions of people. And like every one of us was getting paid how much money?
Yeah,
And you math that out and it's like,
what's the mechanism?
This? Yeah. You know? What is the mechanism? I'm sorry. I run a nonprofit. I know you have to do lots of bookkeeping.
Well, what about all the people not reporting that income?
It is just why. Well, I mean, they defunded that IRS. So, I guess perfect timing. Yeah. So it's just completely absurd on its face, but it's just, you know.
They've gone down the road of absurdity. And that's why I think I can't say that people who follow him are honorable anymore, because if you cared about your own honor and cared about your credibility, you may listen to right-wing radio and it may justify the way you feel deep down about things, but you're out there spreading lies. And so you don't have credibility anymore. And all you had to do was spend a little time to actually look at real news sources to see what the truth is. See with your own eyes. And I think that, you know, people getting shot, executed. I mean, gosh, the guy in Minneapolis who got executed, they shot him like a dog in the street. He was not, wow. He was nowhere near a gun. His hands were showing. That guy reached down and executed him. And how anybody could watch that and not come to that conclusion, you know, to me, it's like you're never going to get to this person by saying, well, you know, Trump told an untruth the other day when he said this, when, you know, Trump's been a liar since the very beginning. He's been a traitor since the very beginning. He is a convicted felon. That doesn't seem to shake them. They are in a cult and they don't want to leave the cult. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm writing them off. They are cut from the same cloth as Donald Trump. I would love to think there would be a moment when the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future visit these folks and they see the light. But I think they would at this point take us all down with them rather than admit that they were wrong about this.
Maybe. I mean, I might have to like lightly push back just a bit, but it could be my own self-delusion, because I do really see it more as like a mind virus, like a fever that has kind of like taken over people because of their information diet and their, you know, their filter bubbles. And I don't know. I just get uncomfortable writing people off, you know, when people sin against you, turn the other cheek, and how many times should you do that?
Seven times 70.
Yeah. I can totally see it both ways though.
Yeah.
Because especially like let's be real. Everybody has their reasons. I think it's weaponized fear. And I think if we can find a way to figure out how to keep that fear from pervading and just invading these people's minds and it being like them cultivating this cult-like behavior. Like, I'm hoping we can get rid of the leadership, but still take some of their community back.
I would hope so. I guess what I'm just saying is that I'm not going to waste a lot of time in trying to convince them anymore, because
I think that makes sense.
You know, I would hope, and I know that there was reading an article the other day about a guy who is a Christian right-wing Christian pastor who realized the error of his ways and all the work that he had done in the Supreme Court to get us to this fascist state. He realizes he needs to atone, and that's good. But that's not from anything he heard. That was no information that came through from me. One thing I've been listening to, and I don't know if this, what you think about this, is people are saying that really it's good to protest and all that, but to affect change, we need to start boycotting technical goods. And that is like, you know, get rid of your ChatGPT account. Anything that, you know, that plays into that. If you're looking to get a new iPhone, maybe you put it off for a month or two and you start saying, we're doing this. Because it seems like, you know, in order to feel shame, you have to be a moral, have some morality. you know, and I don't think that these CEOs, they don't have that morality right now. And so I think that the only way you could ever affect them is by saying, well, this month where no one's going to buy any new iPhones, and see what that does to the price of your stock.
Well, I think that's been proven to be true, especially in the case you cited earlier with the Jimmy Kimmel stuff and Disney Plus.
Yeah.
That being said, I am very skeptical of some of the walkouts and some of the action I see online, because, you know, I run the group Spokane Stands Up.
Yeah.
That's kind of like disseminating protest information on Facebook. And so we have to decide whether we're going to like share stuff about the walkouts and all. And do you remember the one that was at the end of November, and you're just basically not supposed to go to work, not supposed to buy anything, not supposed to use power, and it was for like a week.
Yeah.
It was for Black Friday week. I think it's like, it's just an absurd thing to ask. I mean, I was a bartender less than two years ago. I'm like, some of us work for a living.
Yeah.
Like, and that is a grossly impractical thing. Yes. That being said, it's totally correct, I think, if you frame it correctly and target it correctly.
Yeah.
It's just a coordination problem. How do we get everybody to do it?
Yeah.
So I guess yes and no.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see when Minneapolis did that general strike. Mm-hmm. Last week? I can't remember.
I don't even think it was that long ago.
And that, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that had any kind of economic impact at all, you know, but it's, you know, so much of our electricity is going to be devoted to AI servers and things like that. Anyways, I think that maybe even the most moral, maybe a moral thing to do anyways, would be people who are thinking along those lines, they would be boycotting AI stuff.
I think that especially would make sense, especially some of these, one of the news shows I was listening to was talking about the percentage of electricity in some of these states and some of these counties that is devoted just to the AI data centers. And it's in like the 40% of some of these. And it's not like the data center is paying for it. It's just increasing the utility price across the board.
Yeah, they get a really sweet deal on electricity these data centers.
Yeah, because they come in, you know, with this money and they, you know, grease the wheels with politicians and, you know, everybody kind of pays for it, which, I mean, I do think is just a symptom of us clearly needing some campaign finance reform and like the amount of corruption these days is just, I know it's always been a thing, but it's just.
Oh, Citizens United. I mean, that's that kind of, you know, we don't have a functioning democracy anymore. And that's, you know, if we did, I think people could trust us. If it's 30% of us are nuts or are immoral people, then, you know, I think the rest of the world could say, well, you know, everything's going to be fine, but that's not the case. They control this 30% has wound up controlling this whole enchilada. So it's like, well, due to gerrymandering, due to campaign finance stuff, and of course voter suppression, all of those things have combined to basically make it that this lunatic 30% can call the shots.
Well, and I think that's, it's also because the resistance is messy. I mean, if you can keep 30% united under any one thing, I think you can pretty well steer things to your liking and just kind of play the other groups off each other.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was talking to you off the mic about, you know, some stuff I saw yesterday that you know, in my moderation of this group that does protest information, I had, and what turned out to be an AI chatbot, I assume, with a fake profile, personally messaging me on Messenger, wanting to, asking me, pleading with me to share something on this group that was just clearly there in the context of realizing that it was a fake account. It was clearly there to sow discord and basically create intra-lefty tension, because we're getting too united apparently, and they're having to find new ways to try to divide us, and we need to be watching for that, because I think there is something about being, you know, a good progressive, a good lefty, and that we're really, really good at, you know, tearing each other down a lot of the time instead of, you know, falling in line. We tear each other apart, and we need to, and yeah, there are good reasons to do that sometimes, great reasons, but at the same time, we can't let them use that against us.
The stakes are too high right now for that kind of stuff.
We need to be able to figure out, we need to agree on some things, and there are a lot of things that just doesn't seem like a discussion anymore.
Well, that's what I really, and that's one of the good things that have come out of this horribleness is that Trump has united immigrants, people of color, the LGBTQ community, labor unions, farmers, public safety officers, you know, I mean, firefighters and police officers. He has united us all together. And basically, again, I hate to keep harping on this kind of old-fashioned term, like groceries, of honorable versus dishonorable. I mean, there's pretty clearly drawn lines now between honorable people and dishonorable people.
No, and I really want to talk to, because I have a lot of contacts over at the police department because of Pride.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, this gotta really be terrible for them.
I really want to talk, like, what do you think of these killings? Like,
oh,
this should piss you off more than anybody.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm sure it does.
You think it does?
Oh, I think it does. Okay. I think it does. That I think they look at these guys as amateurs. Most of the police officers I know would be, their blood would be boiling at these clowns that are wearing badges and really destroying their good name.
Yeah.
We've got like 4 minutes, and I'm going to go through these things that are going on that we can talk about really quickly. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there's something always going on. Monday is Mikey Mondays, and that's where people meet at 3 p.m. at the V Median in front of Wendy's on Division. Have you done that?
I haven't, but I drive by often.
Okay.
That's always when I'm working.
Yeah, that seems to be a good spot. On Tuesdays, well, that's today, at 6 p.m. That's just this Tuesday.
That's the one out at EWU, right?
Yes, 6 p.m. Vigil for Alex Preddy, the RN who was killed, executed in Minneapolis. And that's out at EWU, up on the campus mall. Wednesdays, that's tomorrow, 5:30.
And that's just this Wednesday. I think they'll...
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wednesday.
Yeah, just the reoccurring ones were the Monday and Friday and Saturday ones.
Okay.
And yeah, tomorrow it's going to be a pretty big march starting at the Fountain. And
then at 5:30.
Yeah, then they're going to make their way over to the courthouse. There's info of that online if you'd like.
And that's Spokane Indivisible would have all that stuff, right?
I don't even think that one's indivisible.
Oh, okay.
But I would hope the information's on Spokane Indivisible and on Spokane Stands Up as well.
Okay. Well, this one I know is a Spokane Indivisible thing, is that on Thursdays from 3 to 4 p.m., the Visibility Brigade. Have you done that? I've seen that, but I haven't done it.
I'm friends with a lot of them, but I see myself more as a coordinator sound guy, so I already work more than I should.
Yeah.
So I really try to prioritize making that dumb graphic that you're holding.
Yeah.
That because it doesn't, people have still been saying they don't see when the protests are. So I'm like, I'm making a weekly graphic every week. I'm pinning it to the top of Spokane Stands Up and I'm tagging everybody.
I think I am done. Spokane Stands Up would be the place for people to go and see what's going on. And for people, we've been kind of talking around it. What it is if you've driven down I-90 on these Thursdays, there are signage that is very compelling signage about events going on.
It makes you feel nice, trust me.
Yeah, it does make you feel good. A buddy of mine, we did that from work. We went and we made signs and hung those up there at one point back during George W. Bush's tenure.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So this on Friday, 3:30 is Freedom from ICE. Do you know what that's about?
I know that's the East Side Gladiators thing. I don't have the flyer in front of me. God, where was it? I don't remember exactly where it's at. I put that information together before I had final info on the location.
Okay. Okay, so let's do one last one. That's Saturdays, 2 to 4 p.m., say it Saturday. And that's at B.A. Clark Park.
Yep.
Division and Empire, and there's a food drive going on as well. And that's the usual spot where people come out and protest now, and that's from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. So it's always going to be a thing, right, on Saturdays? Or is that just this Saturday?
Oh, no, that's every Saturday. I mean, I hope it's not always
a
thing.
I hope so, yeah.
Well, for the time being, for the foreseeable future, definitely a thing. And I think it's just going to, I think we saw each other at the last one. I don't remember.
Yes, I interviewed you.
Okay, yeah. Those things get really big sometimes.
Oh, my goodness,
And especially with the reprehensible stuff happening this last couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
It's been big.
Okay, we are out of time. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my guest, Matt Danielson, Executive Director of Spokane Pride, and the lead vocalist for the Scablanders, all around Spokane Indivisible helper, all around groovy dude. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
Okay. Yeah, and you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1, 92.3 FM, streaming from KYRS.org.
Been secretly enriching themselves through insider stock trading. Actually, the leaders were forced to support this bit of reform because of public outrage over the dirty dealing of Representative Rob Bresnahan. This multimillionaire Republican was caught using his insider position last year to profit from the GOP's gutting of Medicaid benefits for poor people. So last month, the party's designated ethics watchdog, Brian Steele, rose on his hind legs to introduce the Stop Insider Trading Act. If you want to trade stocks, Steele howled in operatic outrage, go to Wall Street. Bravissimo! Except it was a fraud. Far from stopping the self-enriching stock scams of lawmakers like Bresnahan, Steele's bill basically legalizes their corrupt transactions. For example, members could keep trading stocks in corporations they supposedly oversee. And in the loopiest of loopholes, sneaky lawmakers are authorized to have their spouses buy and sell stocks on the members' behalf. Then, showing his party's true colors, Steele exclaimed that we outsiders should not even push Congress to pass an honest, outright ban on insider trading, because that would discourage wealthy business executives from choosing to enter public service. This is Jim Hightower saying, hello, that gives us two reasons to demand a ban. First, to impose a minimal ethical standard on lawmakers, and second, to shoo off self-serving monopolists and plutocrats from controlling the public's agenda. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hi, this is Owen,
Spencer,
Rylan,
and Jesse of Acrasia, and you're listening to
KYRS!
Medical Lake in Spokane at 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Thin Air Radio!
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is the single largest deployment of immigration officers in one place at one time. In a state that is not even in the top of immigration. What justifies this disproportionate flood? Nothing legitimate, but the president is being clear. Retribution.
The state of Minnesota challenges the federal government in court over their historic deployment of federal immigration agents in the state. We'll speak with Attorney General Keith Ellison. And as the federal government refuses to collaborate with local officials on the investigations into the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preti, we'll talk to law professor Stephen Vladek on the question of accountability.
One of the things that the Minnesota shooting reveals is how hard it is to hold federal officers accountable under federal law. The question that we should be talking about is what are the options under state law, both for civil suits and, if necessary, criminal prosecutions.
Then, Copaganda, how police and the media manipulate our news. We'll speak with author Alex Karakatsanis on the challenges of law enforcement reform from policing to border patrol. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.